Life Management Science Labs would like to acknowledge that we live and produce this podcast on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. We'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands of our listeners and our international colleagues. We'd like to thank and pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Room by Room, the Home Organization Science Insights podcast, produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. We're champions of life management science, providing structured insights informed by science and inspired by practice on key aspects of conscious living. Each week, we bring you scientific and practical insights on each element with the expert knowledge of professionals in the field. I'm your host, Gabriella Yastra, coming to you from Naarm, Melbourne, Australia. Let's begin. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to be talking about how we can create comfortable temporary living spaces that feel like your own with Patricia Lee, who is a professional home organizer at Taylor Lee. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me. I think this is going to be a really interesting talk today. But before we do get started with that, I'd love to learn a little bit more about who you are and why you're here today.
Well, my name is Patricia Lee, and I've been married for 26 years. I have two daughters, one 24 and one 21, and two dogs. And I live in the California Bay Area, close to San Francisco, and I've been here for many years. And I love everything that makes my home feel cozy and beautiful. And I happen to have a very good friend who feels the same way. So 7 years ago, we started this home organizing company after we decided to work on our own homes. And after we worked on our own homes, we felt so good about ourselves that we felt like we could make other people feel this good as well. And so here we are. We just started our 8th year as a Taylor Lee home. We're loving it. We love what we do. We love making people happy. We love seeing beautiful spaces, and it's been a lot of fun.
Great. I love to hear that, you know, you're working with a friend and it all started, you know, from your own homes. And so I think it's a very easy place to start, you know, because you can always fix your home if something goes wrong, but I'm sure you didn't need to do that.
It's a process. So actually, I find on my days off, I'm always working on my home. And I just love like working on the little spaces. And, you know, when things change, you know, my spaces change with it. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Definitely. If I've learned one thing, it's that, you know, people change, families change, and the homes have to change with that.
Right, exactly.
So we'd like to do a section called Have You Met Patricia, where we get to know you a bit better through some of your favorite things. And the first thing that I'd like to know is, what is your favorite book?
I don't know if I have an exact favorite book, but my favorite genre is historical fiction. I just love learning about history and then just kind of romanticizing about what someone during that time might have been going through. And the most recent book that I read is called The Tea Girl of Hummingbird Way. I think that's what it's called, the Tea Girl of Hummingbird Lane. And this was a really interesting book because it's like a history about this particular tea. And what was interesting about this book is that, you know, a while back I did a DNA test and, you know, I realized that actually I was talking about this mountain region that some of my ancestors had come from. So that was really interesting. And then I've never been so interested in tea before. And so when I told my aunt about this book, she actually presented me with some of this particular tea from this mountain region that was from my grandfather. And it was over 70 years old. So it was really, really interesting for me to, you know, actually try this tea and taste it from a different viewpoint. Because I grew up tasting this tea, but, you know, I always thought of it as like a bitter tea that they serve at Chinese restaurants. But now it has like a whole new meaning. And then so after I finished the book, I spent a ton of time doing a deep dive research into this tea, and I was just like fascinated with it. So it was kind of really interesting, you know, to learn that history and that, you know, tea could hold my interest like that.
I think that's so interesting. I also love the idea that the tea that, you know, your ancestors were drinking, you know, generations ago is the same tea that you're drinking now. And isn't that amazing?
Well, and I think if I had not read that book, I would have thrown that tea away because, you know, anything you put in your mouth that's over 70 years old, it doesn't sound right. But, you know, but now I realize it's like a fine wine.
Okay. I was also wondering, like, can tea really last for 70 years?
Surely. I guess it was stored well. And it tasted really, really good. So I wasn't
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. And have you enjoyed any movies recently?
I have, but I wouldn't say it's recent. I think one of my new favorite movies is La La Land. And I just love rom-coms and I love musicals. And so that kind of was like the best of both worlds for me. And I love, I'm a huge romantic, but I also understand ambition. So that was kind of a fun, you know, movie where it kind of had both.
Yeah, I forgot that it came out quite a while ago now, but you know, good movies, they last for a long time.
It's one of those that I just put on when I'm doing something where I can't pay attention to the TV but want something on.
It's good to have those types of movies. And do you listen to any podcasts?
I do, actually. And not to impress you, but I have listened to a few of your podcasts now. And I liked learning from some of your other guests. So yeah, there's some really interesting material there.
But thank you.
Two of my other favorite podcasts is How I Built This. And that was really interesting because it kind of follows the journey of entrepreneurs and how they started their companies. And so it's very inspiring for me to see how one small idea can grow into an empire. And another one of my favorites is Hidden Brain. And that one's it's kind of about human behavior. And there's just a lot of like interesting stories and how people react in different situations and, you know, what guides them to behave a certain way.
I do listen to that one. And yeah, I find it so interesting. Yeah, just learning how people behave and why people behave and all the funny little things that we do.
The things we take for granted and we don't even realize, you know, there's actually a reason behind our behavior.
Exactly. And do you have a role model?
Yeah, I think without a doubt that I would have to say my parents. They've just worked so hard their entire lives. And I think it was like, everything they sacrificed was for me and my sister to have smooth and easy lives. And so, you know, my mom is like 86 right now and she's still, you know, like, you know, trying to, you know, do things that would be in our best interest. And we're like, it's time for you to enjoy, mom. You know, you enjoy everything that you've worked so hard for. So definitely my parents, they just never complained when they worked. They just did it. And we didn't have a lot growing up, but we always felt privileged. And so I really appreciate, you know, all their attitude and the way they raised us. And I think if I'm talking about people who make me try to be better, it would have to be my daughters. Because like the minute I became a girl mom, I really had to look at myself and what kind of example I was to them. So I had to overcome my insecurities. I had to think about my self-confidence and everything I wanted them to be. And now that they're grown up, they truly are my inspirations, you know, for themselves.
That's amazing. And I love how it's the generational, I guess, supporting each other, you know, your parents supporting you, but also I assume that you supported them in many ways as well. And then, you know, you passing that down to your daughters and then them also supporting you. That's amazing.
There's so much to learn on both sides, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before we get started with talking a bit more about, you know, temporary living spaces, I want to know a bit more about what you think home organization is.
My background is in architecture and industrial engineering, and one of my first jobs in my career was as an ergonomics consultant. So everything was about the person. Person first, and then the things around them have to fit to them. And so that's how I see home organization. I feel it's very, very individual, and there's no one size fits all. And so like when we approach our clients, our entire goal is to reach their goals. And so for some people that may be having more things, for some people it may be having less things, but it has to be very, very personal to the person. And I believe that good home organization or successful home organization is when your daily tasks are efficient. Your primary things are within easy reach. So that would make it easy to put away and easy to access. And of course, I feel like you also have to have your own personal decor in there too, to add some, you know, personality and something to make you feel good.
Mm.
So like a combination of form and function.
And so what we're going to be talking about today is temporary housing. And I don't know, the first thing that I think about when I'm thinking about, you know, temporary housing is that it's not really my home. So, you know, I haven't set it up in a way that functions for me. It doesn't have my aesthetic. It's very much just I'm here and then I'm gone. So can you maybe explain a little bit more about what temporary housing is and, you know, how does home organization fit into temporary housing?
Temporary housing is basically an accommodation where you stay for a short amount of time. So that could be anywhere from, you know, a month to 2 years. So sometimes that's a little bit subjective too when you say short term. And, you know, for a lot of people, short term could end up being slightly less short term. And so, you know, you have to adjust when that happens too. For example, when I was younger, we moved to Hong Kong. And it was always going to be a temporary move because we were always going to come back to the States eventually. But then my sister ended up staying 4 years. I stayed 7 years and my parents stayed 17 years. So even though it was temporary, it really wasn't. And then, so it's not like we waited all those years to come back and use our items here. We still had to make it a home, but just knowing that we weren't going to live there forever. But I think for the purposes of what we're talking about today, I'm going to consider it to be something short term where you move out for a little while. For example, you know, when you're in the dorms, or if you're moving out, you know, for a remodel, or if you are relocated for a job for a short amount of time, or you're moving somewhere where you have to have medical treatment. So something where it's like a truly short term. That's what, you know, we'll probably be addressing today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, I mean, we sort of did the same thing. Being, you know, renters, first-time renters, my partner and I moved into our apartment and said, we'll be here for a year, maybe two. 5 years later, we're still there.
So good thing you don't hold off on everything, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we didn't buy the best furniture because we were like, well, we're not going to be here forever.
Right.
But we also didn't hold off from like buying a sofa because we were like, oh, we're not going to be here forever. But I think, yeah, your definition saying probably less than a year, maybe, because if you're going to be hit somewhere for more than a year, you probably are going to buy some of the more substantial furniture pieces. Whereas I think that at least what I thought we were talking about today was shorter periods where maybe you don't want to buy pieces of furniture.
Yeah.
Maybe you're moving somewhere with furniture.
Right.
Yeah. So, and how can we use home organization in temporary housing? Because, you know, we don't get to furnish the place. We don't get to choose what we have in there. How can we apply home organization principles?
And I think it really makes a difference if you're moving into a place that's much smaller than your own versus one that's maybe the same size or larger. And so you really have to think about what you want to bring with you. Because you don't want to move everything in there that you might not be using, and then your place is cluttered and you can't find anything, and you know you have to dig through a few things to get to your primary items. So it really has to be well thought out in how you move things and how you organize when you're there. So your space might be a lot smaller, so you might have to be much more efficient with how you're putting things away and where they go.
Mm-hmm. So where do you start? Like, it seems like such a daunting prospect to move your whole life, your whole home into something that is much smaller. So when you are looking at this process, what do you start with?
I think there's, if you want to really put it in really basic terms, when you're packing to move into this temporary space, I consider there to be two categories. One is all the items that you'll be using daily or while you're at that space, and two would be items that you're not going to be using. So those items might have to come with you if you don't have anywhere else to put them, the items that you're not going to be using. Or maybe they'll go to a storage location, or if you're remodeling, maybe they'll be in a garage. But basically, if you think of your belongings in those two categories, then you, that's where I would start. And then within those categories, I would pack very, very thoughtfully and label everything. And just so you know where things are, because if you're not bringing certain things, you don't know how long you might actually stay there, and you need to be able to have access to these other items, and you need to be able to find them. So, so no matter what you're doing, whether the boxes are coming with you or whether they're staying somewhere else, they should always be well labeled so you can find the stuff that you're not going to be using when you're at your temporary location. And as for the items that are in the temporary location, my advice is to bring just what you need, your core items. So if this is truly a temporary setup, so like a month to a year, I would bring just your core items. So that would be like your everything you need for work, kitchen supplies, your clothing, so things that you need on a daily basis, and not to bring too much excess. And sometimes might be determined by even things like if there's a laundry machine inside your temporary location, because if there is, maybe you might not need to bring as much clothing. But if there isn't and you have to drive your laundry somewhere, you might be less likely to do that on a regular basis. So it might be 2 weeks instead of 1 week where you're doing laundry. So then you might consider bringing more clothing. So it kind of depends on what's available in your location. So some places are furnished, so maybe you don't have to bring as many kitchen items. But if it's not, then you need to think about what kind of like pots and pans and cutlery you might need.
Mm. And I guess as well, it depends on what kind of cooking you're doing. If you're like me and you love baking, and whereas if you're my mom, maybe not so much baking. So, you know, maybe I would bring some baking things so I could make my cookies and my cakes. Whereas my mom probably would, I don't know what she would bring. She'd have more space, I guess, for everything else.
I think that's exactly right. It's really thinking realistically what you're going to do in the short amount of time that you're planning to be in that temporary space. So, you know, for example, if you're going to be there for maybe just the summer season, then you might not need to bring all your winter clothes. And you might not need to bring your some holiday decorations. So really thinking about realistically what you might use at that location during that time.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess looking at the time frame that you're going to be there and thinking about all the situations you might be in, and then what you have available also in that area.
Right. Yeah.
What happens? This is possibly too personal and not relatable to anyone else, but and possibly a bit ambitious, aspirational. Like when you bring 5 books on a holiday and you only read 1. So what happens if you think, oh, when I'm there, I'm going to take up painting and I'm going to learn how to knit and I'm going to do all these projects, and you end up bringing a whole bunch of stuff that you don't use? How should I think more and cull and get rid of some things, or should I just store everything? You know, is there a best way to think about it?
I think one option, I am, just to let you know, I am like you as well. I think there's like more time than there is, and I want to do everything. So you know where you're coming from. But I think the best way to approach that is, if you're not quite sure you're going to do those things, but you think you might want to, I would pack those things separately in its category. So like maybe your knitting items can go in one box, your art items can go in another box, but then pack those but not bring them with you, and then but know where they are. And so if you find you really want to do that, you can, you know, go to where you're storing your items and pick it up there. But then if you pack it in one container, then it's kind of one neat package where it's not like pieces here and pieces there, and then you can just like take one activity at a time. So maybe not all of the activities at the same time and are temporary, but like one at a time. So sometimes I
okay.
Storage facilities like as an extension of your home. So like, you know, that could be your garage. If necessary, that could be somewhere that you pay for, which I don't necessarily recommend, but I understand when it's something like a remodel or like a short term. So, sometimes it's an extension of your home. So you kind of need to set it up where you can go and access the items that you need easily.
Okay, that makes sense. And that does also go back to what you were saying before, where everything that does go into the storage facility should be labeled really well. Mm-hmm. So you know what's in each box. Because I could imagine that what I would do is I would pack all of my, you know, various yarns for my knitting projects in different boxes. And then I'd have to look through every single box to try and find the specific yarn that I wanted.
Yeah. And we've set up a lot of storage facilities for our clients before where we actually even put racks in there. And this is maybe a little bit longer term, not like a month or two or anything like that. But it's you know, sometimes things that they've inherited from their parents or their place is just really small for a few years, you know, because they're in between places. So we've set up their storage facilities with racks. And so you don't have to lift boxes, you know, lift three boxes to get to the fourth one on the bottom. So everything's a little bit more accessible and it's like an extended space.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we're also going to be talking about making the temporary home feel more like home, not just a space that you're inhabiting. So, you know, we've talked about things you might need to bring, but what kinds of things should we bring to make it feel more like home?
Definitely some things you can bring would be pillows, blankets. So these are kind of like small, easy to move items, but give your place a homey feel and it has your personality. Most places, if you're renting, won't allow you to hang things on their walls. But, you know, you can use the removable hanging strips and maybe hang something lighter, like a canvas instead of a wood frame. So that will bring a little bit of color into your place and personality. And what I really love is plants. So plants give a lot of color, a lot of dimension, and it's just like gives it a little bit of life, you know, in your space.
Plus, the plants, you know, they create oxygen and they're sort of like little pets that you can have without actually having a pet.
It kind of gives a temporary space a little feel of a little bit of permanence. And, you know, in Chinese, there's a superstition where you don't bring potted plants to the hospital when someone's in the hospital because it kind of signifies that you don't want to set roots in the hospital. And then, you know, you don't want to make it seem like the person's going to stay there for a long time. But then in a temporary space, I kind of feel like it's a fun little thing where it creates the permanence. So it's kind of like a good thing in some situations and maybe not a great thing in some other, you know, superstitions. But plants kind of give that space a little bit of a permanent feel too.
That's interesting. I'd never heard of that, traditional superstition. But it makes sense. And I guess also in the temporary housing situation, you are in some ways making roots because you're going to live there for a little while. But it's also, you're not actually planting something in the ground and making actual roots. You can still move them. They're still temporary.
Right. And I feel like it's just a small enough addition where it's, you know, you don't have to get like a 5-gallon tree, but you could get a few small plants to just like really make the place feel like you're there.
And do you think, why is it important that we make these changes to our housing situations to make it feel more like home?
Well, I think that when you move to a temporary location, you still need to do all the things that you need to do as if you were in your permanent location. So that includes like work, paying bills, you know, taking your kids to school. So it's kind of important, I think, to set it up where you feel like you actually are living there, you know, permanently, even though you're not, just to create stability. And I think when things feel good and they feel like your own, your productivity level's a little bit better. Maybe your morale's a little bit better. So I feel like it's important to make it feel like your own space, especially if you have little kids. You want the transition to be smooth and easy, because they're going to be, you know, managing a lot of feelings already, you know, if they're leaving somewhere that they're used to and going to somewhere they're not familiar with. So I would say, you know, even if you're staying at a temporary place for a couple of months, if it hits a holiday, then, you know, do all the decorations for them and make them feel like, you know, it's something constant that they had from their old place.
Something that I did when I did an international exchange for my uni. So I stayed in a unit. And because I really missed my family, I missed my partner. I actually drew a picture of my partner and I stuck it up on the wall so I could stare at him.
Well, that's so cute.
And then as I collected things as I was traveling, you know, like tickets, little mementos, I would actually stick them on the whiteboard that we were given. And for me, it was sort of documenting my experience and sort of showing my personality and making it feel more like home. And I found that kind of helped with my homesickness as well.
Yeah. I definitely recommend bringing some personal photos, you know, in a frame, like any small thing that makes your place feel just that much more like a home.
Mm. Was there anything else that you wanted to discuss in the interview?
In terms of temporary housing, mm-hmm. I think if you can, and I really want to stress just the organization of items, like it's going to be a lot more work beforehand, but I think the rewards will really pay off if you can start as early as you know. I know not all circumstances you can start early when you're moving to a temporary housing, but as soon as you can, as soon as you know, you can kind of chip away at it slowly. And I really recommend packing in categories. So, you know, especially for the items you're not bringing with you, pack in categories, label your boxes. And what we do for our clients, we create spreadsheets for them where we log in every box, put a number on the box and the contents of the box, because sometimes they'll move and they won't be able to unpack for a little while, but then they can still find everything that they need. So I would put in the effort, if you are able to, ahead of time to organize all your items. And this is also a great time to cull your items too and declutter a little bit. For most movers, they charge by weight and volume. So when you're looking through your items, it's kind of important to ask yourself, is it actually worth for me to pay money to move these items?
Mm. And as you were saying before, you know, sometimes you have to pay for storage because you can't, you know, maybe put in your own garage. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that the different sizes of storage are, you know, it gets more expensive as it gets bigger. Mm-hmm. So I guess the fewer things you can have in there, the cheaper it's going to be.
Right. Yeah, that's very true.
Mm. Okay, so get yourself organized early and hopefully you'll pay a bit less for the whole moving experience.
That, right.
So for our practice habit section, what is a practice that you do in your own home to keep your home organized?
Every time there's a change, whether it's a big change like marriage or, you know, a child moving out, you know, a pet passing away, or a small change, like, you know, just a season, I like to kind of reassess my spaces and my belongings, because every space in your house is paid for. So you're either paying for it or you've already paid for it. So I find that every space in your house is kind of precious. So I like, you know, to make sure that every spot is used well. And so every time there's a change, I do kind of go through my items and just make sure that I'm using my space best. And when my girls were little, after every school term, on the first day of vacation, I know this isn't very fun, But on the first day of vacation, I would have them like go through all their things from the previous term, you know, like some schoolwork and, you know, some toys that they received, and just do like a real basic clean out. And then so we wouldn't have to think about it anymore for the rest of the vacation. And so we do that. And I used to put on music and take them out for fun afterwards. So it was like a dance party decluttering to try and make it fun. But so that was a habit that we did, because that was a change, right? So once the term's over, you know, then it's a change for a new term. And so that's a good time to kind of look through things, because it's still fresh in your mind as well.
Mm. And I kind of do that in my own life. You know, when I finish uni, every time I finish uni, I've got a couple weeks off, and I've got a list of things that I want to do, you know, declutter, get rid of things, tidy things. And first few days I'm like, oh, I'll just do whatever I want. You know, it's a fun time. I get to relax. And then as the time moves on, I'm like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. And then it's the end of the whole period and I haven't done anything. So I really love the idea of doing it at the beginning, making it a really fun experience, and also teaching your kids how to do this for themselves so that they grow up and they know how to do it, because tidying and decluttering is hard. And I think it's great to instill these habits in them when they're still young.
I didn't know if they thought it was fun, but we do it and then it's done.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the most important thing as well, is trying to make it fun, but also doing it at the beginning so you're not haunted by it the entire holidays.
Yeah, that's how I like to do it. And actually, it's fun for me, so it's kind of different. You know, I have to see it from other people's points of view, but like the feeling I get afterwards, like, you know, it feels really good. So I love doing it.
Mm-hmm. And are there any challenges to doing this?
I think for me, if it's a big change, you just have to make sure that your family's on board, you know, because not everyone has the same decluttering style, and not everyone feels best when it's minimal or there's a lot of items. And I think I'm very fortunate because my family members, we all tend to be pretty similar in terms of how much we want to keep and also the look we like to have in our home. So that's helped a lot. But I know, you know, there are a lot of people out there where family members don't feel the same way. One person likes it very minimal and another person likes to have more things around them. And as a home organizer, we never judge, and we also never tell people it should be a certain way. So I think one of the misconceptions of home organization is that it has to be minimal. But some people don't feel good when it's like that. So our job is to make sure each of our clients' goals are met, whether it's they like having a little bit more or a little bit less. But it's just understanding what their style is and guiding them to be able to create, you know, that kind of respite in their own home without too much.
Mm-hmm. So my partner and I are this couple where I like things a little bit more maximalist. I wouldn't say that I like it cluttered, but I like it a bit more. And my partner likes, you know, a bit more minimalist. How do you find that compromise?
We've worked with a lot of couples that are like that. And then so we do tell the person who likes the minimalism that, you know, they can work on their own items and that will make themselves have the peace that they want. And then as for the person who likes a little bit more, we can still organize it. So you might have a lot of items, but it can still be organized in a way where your home is still efficient, you know, and it's things are still put in where they're supposed to be. And so there's a neatness to that, even though there's more.
Okay, I'll get my partner to listen to this and then hopefully we'll come to a compromise. So we'll move on to the open mic section. That's where you get to talk about something that you're passionate about. It doesn't have to be related to our topic today, but it can be. Did you have something in mind?
I think besides my family, which I'm very passionate about, I'm very passionate about my business. And, you know, it's really fun for me because I started this with a really good friend. And our values are identical, but our backgrounds are very different. So my background is in architecture and industrial engineering, and hers is in real estate. And she's had a lot of customer service and project management. So together, I feel like we have very different skills, but the same values. And that makes for like a really good partnership. And I feel like we're really well-rounded for our clients. You know, we, I know certain things and then she knows certain things, and it's just, and we tend to always understand where our client is coming from because one of us will understand, you know? And so I'm passionate about it because first of all, I love what I do, but beyond loving what I do, I actually love the business side of it too. And so my business partner, we did everything from scratch. You know, we did our own website, we did our licensing, our insurance. So we basically had to do a lot of research into what it takes to start a business, and we did it. And the process was really, really fun. So I'm just really happy that I've been able to find this in my life where it's like something I love and it's, you know, flexible and I have fun doing it every day.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that the business side was fun.
Well, that's where a business partner is really handy because I do all the finances and I love spreadsheets. So that's really fun for me. I know you probably don't hear a lot of people saying that too. And she does a lot of the marketing and she loves that part of it. So then, you know, we have our like focuses. And so it's nice having a business partner to do half of that load.
You'd be surprised how many guests have really liked spreadsheets, actually. Maybe it's a home organizer thing.
I think so. I think it is.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And if our listeners want to find out more about you and your business, where can they find you?
The best place would be to go to our website, and it's taylorly.net, and it's T-A-I-L-O-R-L-Y. And that's actually a combination of our two last names, Taylor and Lee. But of course, it's not spelled the way our last names are spelled, but it's spelled as if we're tailoring our services for our clients, Taylorly. And another place you can find me, and I think this is where you found me, is from House. So I write articles for House magazine online, and I can give you the link to my profile. But also, if you Google House Patricia Lee, then my profile should also come up.
Great, thank you. And we'll also make sure to put all of those links into our show notes so everyone can find you really easily. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Room by Room, produced by the Home Organization Science Labs, a division of LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. More episodes like this from across 10 life management perspectives can be found by searching LMSL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, and other podcasting apps available on your smart devices. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating our show, sharing it, and subscribing to our channel, as it helps other people find it so we can grow and bring you more quality resources. More of our work can be found on our website at ho.lmsl.net, where you can join our movement. I'm Gabriella Yastra. Thanks for tuning in.